Next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about a couple of things, and I hope you can make next week, because we'll get started this week. But sometimes we tend to forget a lot of things, and we try to make things. You ever heard somebody that they'll work harder at trying to make something simple when if they would have just done what they needed to do to begin with, they would have got through it a lot quicker and it had been more right. Does that make sense what I'm saying? A lot of times people are just, they'll dread doing something so much so that they'll think there's got to be an easier way. And they'll work harder at trying to make something easier where in fact it becomes much harder. Well, I believe the same thing can be said today for those as they study the Word. Through life, by the traditions of man, we have come to a point to where we will listen to what somebody else says and we'll make it a truth, or either we'll think there's got to be an easier way or an easier understanding or a cooler method or something that just fits better or a cooler way. We're so constantly trying to change things to make them easier that in fact it will make more confusion and then just going by what simply is stated. In other words, a lot of people will say, well, I know it says this, but what the Bible really means is this. As if God needs our help in understanding the Bible. You would think if anybody could bring it to man to have an understanding, God would be able to do it. But we've started trusting in man what he says on what he thinks God means. But God can't say it clear enough. Isn't it amazing how we do that? And that's just the way it is. And so today we come to a point to where it's as if we can't hear what the Word says. It's as if we've come to a point to where we try to find an easier way or a way to justify something that is wrong from the beginning. And the best example I can give is you take people as they're getting older. And you can see a lot of things that are funny. So I got a few things I want to share with you that I think just brings this out a little bit better. Because today, people don't listen. They don't listen to the simple things. And they try to make things hard. So, in saying that, I couldn't get this to print out. But I saved it on my phone just for you. I think you may get it this way a little bit better. The first one, an elderly gentleman had serious hearing problems for a number of years. He went to the doctor, and the doctor was able to have him fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed the gentleman to hear 100%. The elderly gentleman went back in a month to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again." The gentleman replied, "Oh, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and listen to the conversations." He said, "I've changed my will 3 times. Well, that was kind of funny. Then I had another one that says, an elderly couple had dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives left the table and went into the kitchen. The two gentlemen were talking and one said, "Last night we went out to a new restaurant and it was really great. I would recommend it very highly." The other man said, "What is the name of the restaurant?" The first man thought and thought and finally said, what is the name of that flower you give to someone you love? You know, the one that's red and has thorns." The guy goes, "Do you mean a rose?" He says, "Yes, that's the one," replied the man. He then turned towards the kitchen and yelled, "Rose, what's the name of the restaurant we went to last night?" Some people just want to forget things. This is one about a couple in their 90s. He says, they're both having problems remembering things. During a checkup, the doctor tells them that they're physically okay, but they might want to start writing things down to help them remember. Later that night, while watching TV, the old man gets up from his chair. "Want anything while I'm in the kitchen?" he asked. She goes, "Will you get me a bowl of ice cream?" "Sure. Don't you think you should write it down so you can remember it?" she asks. "No, I can remember it." "Well, I'd like some strawberries on top too. Maybe you should write it down so not to forget it." He says, "I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries. I'd also like whipped cream.
I'm certain he'll forget that. Write it down, she asks. Irritated, he says, I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sake. Then he toddles into the kitchen. After about 20 minutes, the old man returns from the kitchen and hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. She stares at the plate for a moment and says, where's my toast? That's why I go over things over and over again. Oh, man. There's one more. Morris, an 82-year-old man, went to the doctor to get a physical. A few days later, the doctor saw Morris walking down the street with a gorgeous young woman on his arm. A couple of days later, the doctor spoke to Morris and said, you're really doing great, aren't you? Morris replied, just doing what you said, Doc. Get a hot mama and be cheerful. The doctor said, I didn't say that. I said, you've got a heart murmur. Be careful. Well, sometimes you can't help it when you're old, but sometimes we can be careful with what we hear a lot. I'm going to get into saying that just because I want to talk about a lot of times through words, we try to make things simple when a lot of times we pick up a lot of things that are perverted. Things that, and I'm not talking about a lot of times you hear the word perversion, you think of things that are dirty, but actually, that's the truth. There are a lot of scriptures out today. There is a lot of people that try to make the Bible as if they think that the Bible is hard to understand. So they go to bookstores and they go to listen to somebody else that's humorous or that is entertaining to listen to. Or they go somewhere that because he's been to college and seminary, or they go and they pick up different translations of Scripture to try to make it easier, when in fact a lot of times they make it much harder because the things that they pick up aren't the truth. Or they pick up things that take away. And so it's the same way today as we read our Word. We need to understand what the Word says. And that's why a lot of times we may repeat certain scriptures over and over again. We may go to things and mention the Apostle Paul a whole lot. Well, it's because it's important for us to understand when we talk about how God deals with man that we understand the dispensation. So a lot of times we bring up scriptures as if 2 Timothy 2:15, and a lot of people say, oh my goodness, not that scripture again. I've heard it over and over and over again. Well, it reminds me of the reason I left where I was at. The last conversation I had with the preacher of that church was the fact that you constantly mention 2 Timothy 2:15. That's all you ever preach. Over and over again, I hear you mention that. Why in the world are you continuing to always mention just that scripture? Lo and behold, he didn't realize or didn't even think about what he said, because every Wednesday night there's a program called Awana where kids get around a gymnasium or a chapel in a circle, and you know what they recite every week from the time they're what? Is it a cubby? All the way up till they're in high school. You know what they recite? 2 Timothy 2:15. So it's wasn't very important for him, but yet his own kids were reading it or were reciting it every week, and they never got what they were saying. So it's important that when somebody says something, you understand why they say it. And not only that, repetition, as Timmy said this morning, can be good for us. So in saying that, we need to remember as we study the Bible, we need to distinguish truths that are written from Paul's epistles from the truths that are written in other books. And that's why we mention 2 Timothy 2:15 so many times. That's why we take the time to put a board up here for us to understand. It's not just to look at one time. It's to embed it in our brain so as to the fact when we open the Word, we know exactly how to understand it by what it says, for what it says, and we don't need anybody else to tell us, well, I know it says this, but what it means is this. The Scripture, and I've heard Steve Atwood say over and over again,
The proof is in the pudding. You know, and that's an old saying. I never really got a grip with that. But it is. What is in there, the proof of what it is by what's in there. We don't need other things to explain it. It can explain itself. Almighty God does not need another man's help to get you to understand something. Why would that be? Can he not be clear enough and simple enough to teach us? But today, there are many denominations that will tell you, you don't need to read that. We'll share it with you. By the way, the Catholic Church, back in the days, you know what their goal was? Was to get every Bible out of the hands of men so they could teach you what it says. By the way, every translation that you can find today in bookstores, except for the King James Bible, every translation can be followed back to the Catholic Church. Everyone. Even the new King James can go back to the Roman Catholic Church. What the Roman Catholic Church's goal was to take the word out of your hands so they could tell you what it means, would that not mean that every translation somehow or another has been changed by man? Except for the King James Bible, which was underground, which was hid, and if anybody was found with one, was martyred. Guess by who? The Catholic Church. Now that's not me just making something up. You can go to history books and find it written and put down in history. So therefore, that's why I want to talk about those things that you pick up are important to know that they're right. So, we know we should clearly see by now that all the Bible we know is written for us. We all know that. We understand that. But it's not all written directly to us. Although it's all profitable, from Genesis to Revelation, we know it's inspired and it's written by Almighty God Himself. Right? We know that it's breathed and it's penned by man, but inspired by God. We know the Scriptures for that to be true. But it's not all written directly to us as if it's our mail. Why is it profitable then? Well, it helps us understand those things in times past and why there are things for today for our doctrine and also for the future of the things to come. It perfects the Word when we read it. So we need to remember, as we study the Bible, we've got to distinguish truths written from Paul's epistles and from the truths written from other books. We should clearly see by now that all the Bible is written for us, but it's not all written to us. It's kind of like when you go get the mail. Everybody may get mail that may say what? Occupant, right? It's for everybody. It's profitable to know some of those things, right? But there's some mail that is written directly to you. For you to have an understanding that dispensates it to you how you need to respond to that letter. Okay? So we are told to rightly divide the word of truth. Everybody divides the word somewhere, but part of the problem today is a lot of people will divide the word by saying, well, there's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. And that's what they'll do. They'll say, well, that's where you divide it. Well, lo and behold, guess who wrote Old Testament and New Testament in your books today? Man. God didn't inspire man to say, put Old Testament here and New Testament here. Because if He would have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John would be over here. Right? Because Christ hadn't died yet. For there to be a testator, for there to be a New Testament, the Old Testament would have to die. Well, Christ didn't die until the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wasn't crucified in those Scriptures until then. Hebrews is clear. Tell you what, just turn there. I didn't plan on it. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll just start here and I won't get nearly through. But this is something to prove why your word is right and why it's important to divide the word rightly. In Hebrews chapter 9, just go to verse 16. Tell you what, go to 15. In Hebrews 9:15, the Word of God says, "And for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death,
for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Well, guess what?
For the first testament, which would be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, back. Correct? Because had Christ was walking the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Correct?
And verse 15 says clearly, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of what? Death. Let's clear it up a little bit and be a little bit more specific. Go to verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be what? The death of the testator. Well, that would be the death of Christ to bring in the New Testament, right? For the Israel. Now, that is profitable for us to know, correct? Because if not, we would go around dividing the Word by Old Testament and New Testament, wouldn't we? We would think, well, this must be where we rightly divide the Word of truth. Well, Hebrews, either this Word is a lie, or it's the truth, the authority of God's Word. And so for it to be the authority of God's Word, we would have to know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John cannot be New Testament Scriptures. Correct? That's all for us, to be profitable. But is it speaking directly to you? Absolutely not. It has no doctrine at all for you today. Although it says occupant for all to know and to be profitable so we can divide some of these Scriptures, there's no doctrine there for you to apply for the body of Christ. Right? Because it was to Israel. By the way, in the Hebrew epistles, they're written, there's none of us in here that are Hebrew, I don't believe. Why would we say that's our mail if it says Hebrews? Because you're not Hebrew. Right? And so you've got to know to divide the Word rightly. And you do that by looking at the Scriptures for what they say. Now what does man do today? He confuses you right off the bat by putting Old Testament and New Testament in there. He confuses you right off the bat by telling you these are New Testament Scriptures also. Because if it's New Testament Scriptures for us, as if it's your mail, they are New Testament Scriptures. But it's not, is it? What testament do you have? The covenant, the testament came from Abraham to go to who? Israel. You are not part of a testament at all. You're part of the grace, the glorious gospel of the grace of God. In other words, when Paul was saved in Acts 9, there was a wedge that was brought between the Old Testament and what's going to come in the New Testament. And that wedge, we're going to be taken up out of here before the New Testament ever starts. Why? Because the New Testament is a physical kingdom for Hebrew, for the Israel. The new kingdom. And we're going to be in heavenly places. Now, I can prove that to you, but we would be here all day long. So we'll take it a week at a time. Okay? But my point is, you can't take notes in your Bible. You cannot take titles in your Bible because those are man titles to hopefully get you to understand a little bit more about what he thinks it means. And once you start following the traditions of man and say, wow, he's smart, how did he come up with that? If he doesn't use Scripture alone, then it will not give you understanding. And that's why when I preach or anybody else preaches, they need to use Scripture. Correct? So we need to know that. But everybody divides somewhere. We'll find out as we study the Word, in Paul's epistles, we find the church, the body of Christ. Paul never mentions us being a New Testament or an Old Testament. You'll never see it in any of his epistles. Okay? He did not write Hebrews. In Acts 9, we know that Paul was saved. In Romans, he says that he magnifies his office. These are just scriptures that Paul says. In Ephesians 3, he said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. I had a dad and I were talking the other week about people that mention about how they need to debunk or they need to, that dispensations are just wrong. Well, they're in the Word of God. And everybody says, where do you get that big word dispensation? Through the Word? You know, but how many times have you heard, besides me or another grace preacher, preach on dispensation? They won't do it. They won't do it because they're not familiar with it. That's exactly why. Just go to Ephesians chapter 3 while we're here. I need to prove what I say. We read it before. Chapter 3 and verse 1 of Ephesians. In Ephesians 3:1, the Word of God says, now this is Paul writing in Ephesians. He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Doesn't say Hebrews or Israel. It says Gentiles. Follow your heritage. I promise you, you're more than likely a Gentile. Okay? He says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. That means, look, listen up. I magnify my office, and my office deals with the mystery of God. I'm a prisoner. My office deals with me being the prisoner of the gospel of Christ. That Christ died for your sins, that He was dead and buried and resurrected the third day, and by which, because of the faith of Christ, not your faith, you're saved. By trusting in what He did alone, you're saved. That is a dispensation. That means that God did something different to deal with man. And you know what He had to do? Because man kept screwing it up. He had to use His Son to deal with man. He dispensated His Son on the cross to die for your sins, so that by you trusting in what His Son did would save you alone. None of your works. He tried to dispensate that. It didn't work. So He used His Son to deal with you. By the way, you'll never find that in the Old Testament, because He didn't die yet. In fact, He wasn't here yet. You won't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because He never changed the message that was from John the Baptist. He never mentioned a dispensation. By the way, you won't find the word dispensation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know why preachers don't preach it? They're busy making you feel guilty and telling you what you need to do when His Son did it the whole time, and He gave it to Paul to share the dispensation. You won't find it here, but you'll find preachers preaching what you need to do. And you know why you never hear them preach dispensation? Because they're ignorant of it. Amen. They're busy listening to other people to give you new messages. They're busy walking in Lifeway Christian bookstore. I did it. The reason I know it is I did it. I can get messages for a year. And you never hear them preach the dispensation of the grace of God. Even though the mystery's been revealed, to most people, it remains a mystery because the preacher never reveals it. Why? As long as I can make you feel guilty and tell you what you need to do, I can be successful physically. I can take your money. I can count on you to trust in me to get you where you need to go. And I can entertain you. That way, every week, I can make you either cry, laugh, feel good about yourself. And as long as I do that, I can feel like I have power. I know that sounds mean, but doesn't that sound like the Roman Catholic Church years ago? Mm-hmm. It's what man strives for. And by the way, thousands every Sunday sit in the pews and they walk out saying, man, he is great. Man, that guy, let me tell you what my preacher said. I guarantee if you say, what scripture did he share? They won't remember the scripture. Isn't it amazing? The main thing they should remember is what the Word of God says. The first time that y'all walk out of here, and you, number one, it'd be stupid for you to do, but if you put trust in me or another teacher or what's how somebody says something over what the Scripture said, we're missing it from the beginning. Right? And we miss the understanding. So, it's clear, Paul says in verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to yield, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. That's the office that Paul magnifies. He is going to magnify as though you're looking down on something and it's like, boom! All of a sudden, it magnifies this mystery that was given. The sad thing is you never see it magnified that Paul's letters are for your doctrine. So number one, how you're saved and how you live and your responsibilities. Instead, we'll go back here to the Old Testament and we'll be sacrificing bulls and goats, and we don't do that really, but instead, you know what they do now? They baptize with water, you partake of the Lord's Supper, you do all these things half-heartedly like you're Israel, and you're not. I get tickled at the people that are so into the Lord's Supper, but yet, may I remind you, when the disciples did it, they did it every single day. Some do it every quarter here. Well, give me the excuse or the reason why you wouldn't do it every day. If you're going to act as Israel, you need to act as Israel, don't you? We're going to take it. This is the month that we go and take the Lord's Supper. By the way, they did it every single day. You either follow the law to the hilt or you mess it up, right? If a pitcher pitches a perfect game, there's not a hit there at all. He don't walk away and say, well, I had one hitter, so that's pretty much a perfect game. No, it's not. It won't be in the record books that way. The Scripture is clear. You follow the law all the way or you can't do it at all. Israel failed. Now we've got people around today acting like they're Israel when the Scriptures are very clear, but because man has muddied the Scriptures and put titles and tell you what you need to do, you clearly cannot see the dispensation. And therefore, there are people that go to church every day that are as lost as a goose, and when they die, they will go to hell because they have not trusted in what Christ did at the cross. Instead, they've trusted in what the preacher told them to do, and they've got their tablet and their list saying, this is why I'm saved, because I went to an altar, because I was baptized, because I took the Lord's Supper, because I was a member of this church, because my mom and dad were saved, I must be saved, because I was a good guy. I sang in the church. I drove the church bus. I taught. And they never mention I was saved because of what Christ did at the cross. Because Paul revealed a mystery that magnified his office. And the office was the glorious gospel of the grace of God. How you don't have to do anything upon yourself but to trust what Christ did at the cross. While we're in Ephesians, just go to 2, 8, and 9. You'll never see this in the Old Testament, and you'll never see this in the Hebrew epistles. The Apostle Paul says, and look at part of his office, we need to rejoice in this. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That ain't your faith, you can't do it. It was the faith of Christ. You're saved through the faith of Christ. Was Christ faithful to the cross? All the way. Was He faithful that He died for your sins? Absolutely. Romans 1 says He buried your sins. You were baptized with Him to His death. That was your sickening, fleshy sin that He died for. By the way, He didn't just die for it. As Mark taught a couple of weeks ago, He took your sin and He bore it on Himself. Was He faithful? Absolutely. He died, was buried, and He resurrected the third day, conquering the sin He took of yours to the grave, and was resurrected, triumphing over your sin, so that you too could have life everlasting. You being dead with Him and buried, you're resurrected with Him. You can't see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How come? Because it's an Old Testament that He hadn't been crucified yet. So if He hadn't been crucified yet, it can't be that can't be your mail. Can it? Absolutely not. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's not like, not your faith, His faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God's gift was to take His Son and bore your sin. Look what He says in verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we thought we could save ourselves, you know what we'd be doing? Well, let me tell you how I did it. And you'd walk out and you'd say, man, let me tell you how Paul did it. And then somebody else, you'd tell somebody else how you did it. And then all the glory would go to you. And you'd never see the glory of Christ in what He did. Well, welcome to the Roman Catholic Church. And welcome to all the other denominations that follow the wrong translations and the traditions of man. Do you see how Satan works? We think that Satan works as a way of like coming in here and we would see this evil person like he's going to... Satan's not going to attack you that way. You know how Satan confuses you? He uses the Word of God. Because if he can get you to not understand it and saying it's too hard, you close it and you quit, he don't need to do any other work. As long as he can confuse you thinking because you go to church you're saved, he don't need to worry about it. As long as he can get you to think that it's something you've done to save yourself, he's taking care of it. But the minute that you trust in what Christ did at the cross, and you count on that for your salvation, is the time where you can dispensate that mail that is to you, and you'll understand this word isn't that hard. Let me tell you, when I finally got a grip that it's not what I was doing, this word became so easy to understand. In saying all that, in Ephesians 3, he said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He says he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Well, that must be important. Several times in Paul's letters, he says, be ye followers of me. Now, we're not here to praise Paul. We're here to praise the fact that God gave Paul a mystery by which we're saved, and are thankful that Paul was faithful to get the message out because Christ spoke through Paul and gave him the revelation. You understand that? It's not that we're here to give glory to Paul. We're here to give glory to Christ, and we see the glory of Christ through Paul's message. That's what he means by he magnifies his office. Wouldn't it be Paul's office if he was given the dispensation of the grace of God to give to you? That's what he says. He was given it to give to you. And that's why we know Paul's letters are our mail. His letters are for the doctrine of the church today. The other scriptures are very important. Do not get me wrong, because it gives us proof of what we believe. It's profitable for us to know. But they are centered around kingdom doctrine. It is for us, but it's not to us. Everything here and back and everything here is centered for a kingdom gospel. The good news that the King is there and the kingdom is set up on earth. That is not good news. That is not your good news. Your good news is the fact that you don't have to go through what they went through. Instead, He died for you. And the good news is the glorious gospel and the grace of God that you're saved by what He did through His faith and not of your works. You know what they had to count on? They had to count on their works. What they did. We don't have to count on our works at all. That's exciting. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We know this verse is key. We know that it's very important. But also we need to know that we have a book today that is the word of God. It is truth for today. And the only way that you can know by certain is if you compare scriptures to scriptures. Okay? And we'll get into that next week. We're going to talk about different versions and translations in scripture. And we're going to prove through these translations why I believe today the best material you can have would be the King James Bible. I've had them all. I'd have fought and argued over all of them. until I started studying them side by side. And man will muddy every water he can muddy. And if he has to take away, then it can't be true. Know that you're saved. Count on it by the fact of what Christ did at the cross. I didn't get anywhere I wanted to go this morning, but at least we can sit here and say today, we know it because we see the truth by what the Scripture says. You saw it in Hebrews, how that can't be your mail. You saw in 2 Timothy how we divide the word rightly. If we can divide the word rightly, that means we can divide the word wrongly. We also saw clearly this morning, not because of what we say or what I said, but that Paul was given a mystery, a revelation to magnify his office, and it's a dispensation to give to you, that there is a gospel of grace. That means grace was bestowed upon you. By you trusting in what Christ did, you count on it for your salvation. The awesome thing with that is nobody can say, well, you haven't done this or this or this, you can't be saved. Because we're saved by what Christ did.